I would say it's a rare treat to have Zuhal Bailey in here. And while it's a treat, it's not rare because of the simple fact that Zuhal Bailey visits Spokane just about every other month throughout the year. And so welcome, Zuhal.
It's great to be here, especially having survived last night as well.
Oh, yeah.
Thrilled.
And so we're right in the middle of that, just to catch up, in the middle of the concerts, as with many of our vestigial titles, called Mozart in Manitou. And by now it's simply in Manitou because it's taken on such a life of its own. Yeah. My quick disclaimer is that I'm the creator, founder and of that, and I'm employed by that, and so that's the like underwriting that we start out showing my bias even as we talk about that. But but we're going to talk not only about that, but go way beyond it to a lot of other things happening with Connoisseur Concerts through the Northwest Bach Festival and all the things going on. But first, we're going to circle back around. Last night, we had the first half of the concert in the traditional way with the wind ensemble and a singer, as we've done for 28
Beautiful.
Years.
Beautiful. Yeah. And on a gorgeous night.
Yeah, it was. It was a really great one in Manitou there with lots and lots of people. And then it was the interesting experiment. And I don't mean interesting in the usual cautious way, but it was the fact of Break of Reality, which for cool and hip reasons call themselves a rock cello quartet. But it's like every one of our words that we put on anything, the word can't describe it. The words are a problem, aren't they, almost?
I think this is what's happening in the music world. I mean, we're so aware of what's happening worldwide at all times that classical musicians in the past were in such a box. Mm-hmm. And because of world music and crossover and things like this, it's become very blurred. And so they create this group, these classically trained cellists and percussionists from places like the Eastman School and Indiana University, created a break from their reality to actually take their very educated, polished skills and bring them to all genres. Mm-hmm. And this is what we experienced last night. And that was the intent of it, to show that you can see a cello and it does not mean Haydn or Bach. Mm-hmm. It could, but it can also be Soundgarden. It could mm-hmm. also be Metallica. It could be John Lennon or Paul McCartney. And interestingly, a lot of those groups in their scope of things have used cellos, but they've been disguised. So a lot of them last night were using disguised cellos made of carbon fiber, and they were amplified. I think it was quite a shock to the entire Manitou Park, sound-wise, to have the kind of extremes of beauty to kind of visceral headbanging a little mm-hmm. bit, but we're thrilled to have them here. And one of the founders, Patrick Laird, with Ivan Trevino, is actually here with us this morning. And I'm so thrilled that he might be playing for us when you're...
Well, I think we're just going to move right into it because we're talking about all of the ranges of things. And even as we allude to all of those other genres or whatever, or musicians from many different forms, there's also simply great contemporary music written for the instruments.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're about to
hear.
And
to take advantage of what the capacities are of the instruments mm-hmm. and what Patrick is going to show us, hopefully, if he plays the piece that I think he will play. It's a solo cello piece mm-hmm. by the Turtle Island String Quartet cellist Mark Summer called Julio. And it showcases lyricism, jazz, rock. Pizzicato is like a rock guitarist. In about 3-4 minutes, you can see everything possible with Patrick Laird.
And the good news is he's in our studio. He's poised. He's ready. And so we're going to hear this piece live right now. Thank you. from our studio. That was Patrick Laird, the cellist and founder of the of Break of Reality, the three cellists and a percussionist who are playing tonight the second half of the Mozart and Manetho concert. And he was playing Giulio by Mark Summer. And so always the beauty of simply having somebody walk in with the cello and we put them on the radio. And so, well, awesome. Welcome, Patrick. Glad to have you come in.
And, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
And do this. And you and the percussionist, I think, are called the founders of Break of Reality so many years ago. And then it's continued with a great career. But I want to know, even within this, is that your entire life? What's the rest of your life as you make a living and have it both musically and
yeah? Well, Break of Reality is certainly a big part of what we all do. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing is that it's not everything. So we all have pretty different musical careers outside of Break of Reality, and it provides us a lot of variety. Ivan, for instance, is an incredible composer. He writes a lot of music for percussion, but all instruments, and is his music is played all over the world all the time. Mm-hmm. I play in one other group, a duo with my wife called Brooklyn Duo, and we're YouTubers, for lack of a better term. And so it's kind of a nice thing. So we kind of all do our thing, but we also, we'll run off and tour around the world, and we're lucky to have that sort of juxtaposition.
So we could call you utterly modern musicians, using what the world is right now to
absolutely. To it's be a your great platform. Musical environment, I think, for musicians who are able to take advantage of the tools.
Let me bring your mic in. Yeah.
I use them as an example all the time of what the 21st century musician actually should be, strive to be, because this is not only successful, but thrilling to watch. Mm-hmm. For them, to watch themselves have these opportunities that are some self-created, but very attractive to audiences, and which also, for me, as a presenter, and you too, kind of to convince people that change is good. When people hear this kind of group, it's not very hard to convince them that this is something that they should like, or should like is a weird word. I know they'll like, because while he was playing, I was reminded of the endorphins of a smile. I couldn't stop smiling in here, and it's an amazing, amazing future we have with classical music and kind of the blending of the genres.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, I assume that with the group, any one of the four of you just kind of walks in the room and says, "Hey, let's try this," and there's I assume no limit on where you might draw your material.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's cool about what Break of Reality does is we really don't put any boundaries on anything. So whatever we feel like, whatever music we really enjoy, if we're covering something, we can cover anything we want, which is really nice. Unfortunately, with the fact that we live all around the country, a lot of times Ivan and I will be the ones to be making those decisions, and then we'll send out some music, and it's a little more frantic than like, "Hey, what do you want to play?" But
I think you can't assume that people understand what cover means.
Right.
When you say cover a song, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, we call them covers, but they end up quite different than, the original. But when we say cover, we mean, we'll hear a rock tune that we really love, or we'll hear, just anything really, and put our own take to it. We'll transcribe it down, into
recreate
notation,
it with the instruments that you have at your hand.
And recreate it with the instruments that we have. And the cello is such a versatile instrument. It's as you heard in Giulio, it's an incredible instrument. And to have three of them, we really have limitless, possibilities in what we can cover, what kind of music we can play.
And that's kind of what Brooklyn Duo is all about. It's all about covers, right? Do you write your own things as well?
Yeah, so with my wife, that duo, we basically started off and we're like, let's cover as many things as we can, and really we're 10 albums in now in just a handful of years. We every week we're playing, we're covering multiple things and releasing it to the public.
I stumbled on your Bohemian Rhapsody the other day.
Oh, with the Dover Quartet.
That's amazing. Yeah. So they took, after when the movie came out, of course, I was listening to something and I looked over at the screen and there he was sitting with a very, very wonderful young quartet called the Dover Quartet in the studio, just reading this thing off, not reading this thing, playing this thing. And extraordinary.
Yeah.
It was a lot of
by
fun.
Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick Laird of Break of Reality and one more performance tonight. The second half, the whole concert starts at 7 at Manitou Park and right there adjacent to the Duncan Gardens. It's pretty hard to miss. There's the really big tents there and when can do that. So thanks a lot, Patrick, for coming to Spokane and for suddenly treating us right now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Good. Well, Zul, let's now move from the present to the future because there's all kinds of ideas. Spanish music, and just a minute ago you were referring to an interesting experiment that you made with the music of Manuel de Falla many years ago.
Well, I'm in my own way. I'm trying to ever experiment, ever change, and be flexible. And a few years ago, I was asked to, gosh, this is a long story. I'll make it very short. Basically, this new technology was taking a player piano and channeling through computer algorithms. Dead people. So what they did was they found a recording of Manuel de Falla playing with a singer of his Suite Populaire, and they were able to separate his piano playing from this singer. They were able to channel it through a computer and then kind of recalibrate it exactly the way he played it, and then push it through one of these new, brand new, like kind of Spirio type pianos, which is the player piano that's able to play itself.
And so that actually will be a piano sound.
It's a piano sound in a concert hall, but with the touch of the person performing it. In this case, it was Manuel de Falla. And I was asked to come in as an experimental recording and be the counterpart to his playing. It's very strange for me to sit in a studio with nobody and have just a piano start playing and have no one to look at and have no one to breathe with. It was eye-opening, but most importantly, I got to live in the world and with the touch of one of the greats. That inspired me to look into more Spanish music. That inspired me to have conversations with my friends in Spain and Mallorca, Alfredo Ayaguez, who's coming here, and began kind of concocting interesting thematic recitals around such music as it was so, and especially with a Spanish performer's touch, as you would have with a French performer's touch or a Russian performer. long story short, we're celebrating Spanish music in August here on our summer series in Spokane. And that very person, that very pianist, Alfredo Yaguez, is coming in from Mallorca to join us and a bunch of other of our familiar favorites, which that's kind of a thing that I like to do also. I know that in the end, people like to hear their friends play for them. And so I try to always bring in new faces, but I also try to augment them with familiar ones. So Kurt Nickinen, violinist, is coming in, as well as Scott Rawls, violist. And of course, I'll be playing the cello in that group. But we'll have a smattering of lots of different composers, Spanish. In fact, there's even a paella evening at Barrister prior to the concert. So people can come to the concert. They can come in earlier and have a Spanish meal with everybody and celebrate all that has with great wine at Barrister, as well as an evening of Spanish music.
Yeah, and that's Sunday, August 25th, which will be the Summer Classics, which is something that you instituted a few years ago, figuring that we shouldn't neglect music at the end of the summer either. And then there will be other things going on that
week. Of course,
week,
that whole week, yeah.
Including the return of the pianist that was here a few
That's right. Richard Dowling is coming back as an encore to play the young Chopin works.
Yeah. So that will be happening there. And then it happens when we're all playing the numbers games. We look for every big round number we can. And so in 20, 10, what does that become, the 250th anniversary of Beethoven?
Oh, you mean 2020?
2020, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm off by a decade, too. I don't remember my 30s at all. Yeah, it's a problem for me. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so obviously we have a December presence, which we are revving up for 2020, which is going to be the 250th birthday celebration worldwide of Ludwig van Beethoven. And that is significant. I mean, that's big because we get to hear why. You know, Yasha Heifetz had this saying that, you know, it's always good to play new music because most of the time it reminds you why someone like Beethoven was so great and why we're still celebrating classical people like this, geniuses. And he is certainly one to be celebrated. And here in Spokane, we're going to be celebrating his 16 string quartets over the course of December and February. And then in May, I will traverse the Beethoven sonatas for cello and piano with Edward Zilberkant prior to our next year's summer evening in the park concert. But we're skipping the big elephant in the room.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about this for a little bit longer about Beethoven, because ever since you've been here, you've been known for complete series. It started when in one night you played all six Bach cello suites, and then since then you've done groupings of entire works of a certain genre by a certain composer. And so talk about not only the opportunities, but maybe the challenges of how to present it, how to make it work for the listener, and so that it really becomes a great concert experience, as opposed to the idea of that a concert should be like a meal and have salad and a main course and dessert and all that
Vern,
stuff.
Vern, just like we were talking about earlier, and by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's Vern Wyndham's birthday today, and we're celebrating it worldwide.
There you go.
Everything's personal to me. Mm-hmm. If it's not personal, I feel like I'm faking it. Mm-hmm. When my programming is based on many things. Yes, of course, sometimes it's based on the variety of a meal. Sometimes it's based on a friendship. Sometimes it's based on an anniversary of something. In the case of what you just discussed, this comes back to wine. And it comes back to my first fear of wine. And what I've got, the quick story is that my first performances in Napa Valley in the 1900s in 1996 were sponsored by a really high-end winemaker, Stag's Leap. They invited me to a dinner. They put me on the spot to ask me if I liked their wine. I didn't know anything about wine. I'm relating this to classical music. So every time I say the word wine, think classical music. They put out 7 or 8 glasses, and I tried them all, and they asked me to describe them. I couldn't. They said, use musical terms. I could. They said, those are the same terms that we describe with wine, whether it be breadth or depth or harmonics or, you know, whatever. Good taste. I mean, whatever. So at the end of this meal, they said, which do you like? Just instinctually. And I liked the 100% Cabernet wine. Head over heels of everything else. And they said, okay, here's what you have to do. You have to drink only Cabernet Sauvignon for a year and a half with your meals. Don't try anything else, but try different labels of it. Like meaning, so if, let's just say Cabernet were Beethoven. Mm-hmm. Only listen to Beethoven, but listen to symphonies and quartets and trios and every genre or the collection of people with a Beethoven, but only Beethoven. So back to Cabernet. And then slowly after a year and a half of understanding exactly why instinctually you adore this, start testing Beethoven against, or Cabernet against Merlot, Beethoven against Haydn, Beethoven against Bach. And you find your place of reference on why instinctually you are drawn to something. So going back to thematic things, the Goldberg variations. I had never experienced a hypnotic effect of music before the Goldberg variation, sitting there for 85 minutes and seeing what my body, my mind, my soul would do after literally being hypnotized by the world of Bach. And it made me realize an evening of Beethoven, if it's significant also in the evolution of his own mind, so it goes back to spiritual, emotional, intellectual, soulful, physical, how we change and understand what he was going through with his possible deafness, how the sforzandos and the impacts of his dynamics happened because of his own ailments affect the way we hear the music. So I want to showcase, in this case, his greatest works. I mean, obviously his symphonies are significant, but his 16 quartets, are the standard, the gold standard of for every composer of all time. And I wanted to show two different quartets, the Ataka and the Ariel string quartet, meaning two different
groups
of, yes, to showcase different vantage points of how to interpret. But I wanted people to say, I understand Beethoven now, or I empathize with Beethoven now, and now I see Bach differently for the future. So if I were to have chosen a group, a Beethoven, it's always the quartets. So that's why I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. It's a multifaceted experience for the listener. We've already heard the complete Beethoven string trios, which we did a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. which actually wasn't a blind presentation. I was prepping everyone for the quartets, because that's what he did to prep for the quartets. He experimented with the string trios to see if he was ready with string writing to be compared to his teacher, Haydn, who wrote 60 or 70 quartets. So I can't wait to unveil all of this experience, but it starts in December. It ends in February. In the meantime, we've got another big event in January, and then we'll go to a whole nother personal experience in February. I'm sorry, in May, with, you know, myself playing the cello, which mm-hmm. with all the stories that I always bring, and a new pianist to town, Edward Zilberkant from Fairbanks, mm-hmm. Alaska. Mm-hmm. To again, every concert we do is, in my opinion, the best artists on earth playing the best music on earth in ways that will leave a lasting impression mm-hmm. on our audiences.
Spending time with Zul Bailey and clearly from what we're already learning and hearing in Zul and his experiences with putting concerts together and all these things. And one of the many virtues of this is that you have these three or four festivals that you work with, and the original one for you, the El Paso Festival. And so this keeps you really active and engaged in the world of who's doing what. You couldn't do any better if you lived on 57th Street in New York City.
Well, I did live on. I lived there, and I didn't do anything. You know, I mean, the fact is that I wake up every day pinching myself that I get to be so proactive in my own mind and my dreams and to be able to try to make a difference in this world through mm-hmm. communities, and I am so invested in that. And it's about 7 or 8 years ago became very clear that this is why I'm here mm-hmm. globally. Mm-hmm. I'm here to try to connect people. I'm here to try to make people feel things, and it brings me enormous pleasure and. It makes me feel like alive.
Yeah. So when did you first play with Itzhak Perlman?
That's the big elephant in the room. So Itzhak Perlman's coming here to perform for us in Spokane in January.
Yeah, on Monday, January 13th.
You know, it's his 75th birthday this year. This coming year, so that's a big celebration of him and as a human being, but also, by the way, it's your birthday today. Happy birthday!
No, thank you.
I'm going to say that a lot today.
Okay.
I met him in a very wonderful way. I met him as a dad because I met his daughter Nava Perlman as a fluke at a festival in Cape Cod, and. We drove together for 6 hours, and she was a pianist that I got to hear, and I met her as a human being as well, not as what she is and what she stands for in the family, et cetera, et cetera. formed a trio with her. I had dinner with her at her house with her husband and her family, and then she invited me to her family's house, and oh yes, the man at the end of the table was Itzhak Perlman. Wow. And then, but I didn't, you know, it was a very strange thing to not have that, or to get past that very quickly,
yeah,
that
sure.
He's the greatest ever violinist to walk this earth.
I know, one knows that feeling, that apprehension for a moment, but it probably only lasted a moment.
Just for a second, because mm-hmm. I was surrounded by my friends mm-hmm. and his family, which made me, you know, get rid of that quickly. So I met him in the mid-1990s. and subsequently, we were coached by him. We were guided by him. He gave me life advices all the time that weren't forced. You know, they were just sitting around a dinner table or in a car or whatnot. We began as a trio performing with him in different places. We performed a Beethoven triple concerto with the Toronto Symphony, the Chicago Symphony. We opened Ravinia in the early 2000s for 20,000 people with him conducting. There's a film out there of us playing live Beethoven Triple Concerto with the Israel Philharmonic. It's on DVD and YouTube and things like that. I have just gone through amazing experiences with this man, and it's interesting for me to see posters of him because I see him as my friend's father. Oh yeah. And also the greatest violinist to ever play the violin. And to have him, so I had learned a few years ago that the 75th birthday celebration was coming up because of Nava, to be honest. Mm. And I immediately began trying to concoct a way to celebrate him as the violinist, but as a person. I wanted to celebrate this milestone of a man who has made such a huge difference in this world, both musically, politically, and through humanity and his gestures and his just being. I mean, I think one of the things that people describe about him is his humanity. Mm. And he also plays the violin better than everyone else, yeah. Period. So that's what I want to celebrate. And I think the last time he was here was 1973.
74 at
yeah.
Expo.
Yeah. Right. And so it is truly a once-in-a-lifetime situation we have here. And tickets go on sale, I think, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we have a few VIP limited seating experience Itzhak Perlman tickets left, which you can call the office for. But that would be an up-close personal meet and greet and maybe some time around this special human being.
If you Google Northwest Bach Fest, then you'll get the website. And from there, you could you could follow that down. And so Itzhak Perlman coming to town to play a recital, which is extraordinarily exciting.
At the Fox Theater.
And this can be done. I'll now speak from the vantage point of the organization of Connoisseur Concerts, and when we sit around board meetings deciding what can be done, what can't be done, by virtue of the really great response of the last few years, that there's so many people so enthusiastically doing things that we took the chance because it's a big deal, it's a big chance. We have to fill the Fox to make this work, and so it's not only his name, but it's the fact that there are a lot of people in this town that are just loving music.
Yeah, and I think it's also the fact that this organization's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and is really it deserves the trust and the honor that it's gained from it. I mean, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, mm-hmm. coming in 8 years ago. Gosh, I can't believe it's been 8 years. But you know, it's so. Such a wonderful feeling to walk into a room representing this organization and have glistening eyes. You know, people are teary-eyed about the stories that they can tell of the experiences they've had going to concerts that we present. As I said last night at Manitou, you want the best. You've got the best. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is the best, mm-hmm. in whatever capacity we do it. It's an experience, and obviously, we keep coming back to this, but there is no greater violinist than Itzhak Perlman. I would venture to say that he is the greatest violinist who's ever lived. If you hear his sound, it stops you in your tracks. And to be able to have watched Michael Jordan play a game, to be able to see that for real, not just on TV or Tiger Woods in that umbrella of when he was winning everything at the top of his game, is something you never forget. You're going to see and be in the building with the greatest violinist, period, in January. And our organization is thrilled for it.
Yeah. So that's Itzhak Perlman on January 13th, and that's also a big overview of nearly a year of great plans. So we'll look forward to all this.
Thank you. Thank you, Vern. Happy birthday.
And thank you. Yeah, yeah. I've heard that rumor.